Let's turn in God's Word this evening to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. The book of Ephesians has two major sections to it. The first three chapters, chapters 1, 2, and 3, all focus on doctrine. He gives doctrinal instruction about the church and the redemption of the Gentiles. The second half of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, give more of the practical application of that doctrine. So you'll notice in Ephesians 5 a number of applications that the apostle makes to marriage, husbands, wives, as well as to all children of God. Let's read Ephesians 5 together. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. We stop our reading of God's Word at that point. May God bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures unto our hearts. The text for the sermon this evening is the first two verses of Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle begins this fifth chapter with the word therefore. That word therefore is a conjunction which shows that there is a unity between what he had been teaching in the fourth chapter and what he is proceeding unto in Ephesians chapter 5. In the fourth chapter, he had concluded his thought by reminding the saints at Ephesus again of the gospel truth. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now the Apostle Paul is building off that truth. Because this is the case, that God for Jesus' sake hath forgiven you, because God does not hold your sins against you, because God does not count you as guilty, even though you have transgressed every one of his commandments, because through the work of Jesus Christ, remits you of your sins, therefore, the apostle goes on, therefore, be followers of God as dear children. Let's look at these first two verses of Ephesians 5 under the theme, Imitators of God. First, we'll consider the lofty calling that the apostle gives us here. Second, we'll consider the only hope, that is, the only hope that we ever have of keeping this commandment. And then third, the certain assurance. The lofty calling that the Apostle Paul gives unto us by the inspiration of the Spirit is this: you are to be a follower of God. To follow after someone is to walk behind someone, to place your steps in their footsteps. The calling of the Christian is to follow after, that is, to walk behind Jehovah God. In a very real sense, this is what the Old Testament Israelites did in the wilderness wanderings. Jehovah God went before them, leading them in the Shekinah cloud. And then it was the duty of the Israelites to follow after Jehovah God. For as long as they would follow after Jehovah God and go where He led them, they were blessed by Jehovah God. But if they would try to deviate from God's pathway and pave their own way through the wilderness, it did not go well for them. But there's more here to this word, to be a follower of God. It not only means to walk behind someone else, but it means this also, it means to imitate God. The Greek word here is mimetes, which closely resembles the English word derived from it, mimic. We are to mimic God, be an imitator of God. If the command wasn't found here in the Holy Scriptures, we would hardly dare to suggest such a thought. imitate God? It seems nigh unto blasphemy even to suggest such the thought. And yet that is the meaning of this word, to be a follower of God. To mimic or to imitate someone requires, in the first place, you have to know that individual. If you're going to imitate someone else, you have to have some level of awareness of that individual. And then, second, not only must you know that individual, but then you must have the power to replicate the thoughts, the words, the actions of that individual. The reality is, God has created us in such a way that we will mimic, we will imitate, we will follow after someone. We are created by God in such a way that we long to worship. And if we do not worship Jehovah God and seek to imitate Jehovah God, then invariably there will be idols in our lives, whom we will look up to, whom we will study, will watch them closely, and whom then we will look to replicate in our thinking, in our words, and in our actions. The question is not so much a question of whether or not we are going to imitate others, but the question is, whom do you imitate? Be ye followers of God. This is astounding that we are told to mimic God. We could better understand the command of this text if the command was to mimic, to imitate another individual upon this earth. And the reality is, we are given that commandment elsewhere in the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, wrote to the saints at Corinth, saying, "Be ye followers," same word in this text, "be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And in Hebrews 6, verse 12, this word is used again, where we are told to be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But here the command is not to imitate other godly men or other godly women, but instead the command here is to imitate, to follow after God. And it is not that there is a contradiction or a disjunction between imitating God on the one hand and imitating the Apostle Paul and following after the patriarchs of old, but rather to follow after the Apostle Paul as he walked in holiness and uprightness before God is to follow after Jehovah God Himself. The Apostle Paul stated that in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6, where he states, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." To be a follower of Paul is to be a follower of God. And who is worthy to be a follower of Jehovah? Who could approach unto Jehovah's level of holiness? Who could know God and then replicate perfectly the thoughts, the words, the actions of God? Zophar, one of Job's counselors, asked in Job 11, verses 7 and 8, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is high as heaven. What canst thou do? deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Or consider the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. There he received a vision of angels who are coming into the presence of Jehovah God. And what, children, did those angels do as they came into the presence of God? They took their wings and they covered their eyes. For who is holy enough to come into the presence of God and look upon Him? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And as Isaiah stood before that thrice holy God, the confession upon Isaiah's lips is this: woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. If the prophet Isaiah confessed, woe is me, as he stood before Jehovah God, who are we to think that we can mimic God? In what way are we to follow after God in this lofty calling? We must understand this carefully. When the Apostle Paul says to be a follower of God or an imitator of God, he is not saying that in every sense of the word you are to be as God. The reality is God is the Creator, we are the creature, and we who are the creature never will be or become the Creator. The Essentials students in Catechism are taught about the attributes of God. And they learn of two different categories of attributes. There are the incommunicable attributes of God and the communicable attributes of God. The incommunicable attributes of God are attributes that are reserved for God Himself. God does not share these attributes with the creature. We do not partake of these attributes of God. And so the fact that God is the independent or self-sufficient God who needs no one or nothing outside of Himself, certainly it is not the case that the Apostle Paul is saying you are to be as God in that sense. You are to become independent even as God is independent. Or with regard to the fact that God is the eternal God, the God who transcends all time, who is and who was and who forever shall remain the Almighty. Certainly it is not the case that the apostle is saying, now you have to become as God and you have to become eternal. With regard to the incommunicable attributes of God, we understand that the apostle is not speaking of those attributes. But rather, beloved, as he instructs us to be followers of God, this calling, the sense in which we are to imitate God, is with regard to His communicable attributes. The communicable attributes are the attributes that God shares with us, we who are His people. He is pleased not to reserve these for Himself, but in His love He grants them unto His people. We are created in the image of God. We are image bearers, created in knowledge and in righteousness and in holiness. Because we bear the image of God within us, it is possible for us to imitate God. God is the God of grace, and He communicates this attribute unto us so that we receive grace, and now the calling is, be gracious. God is the God who suffers long, the God of forbearance, who is not quickly roused to anger, and now God grants unto us that attribute, and the calling is to be patient one with another. And especially, beloved, what is the calling that arises out of this text? What is the way in which we are to imitate God? Verse 2 tells us it's love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Love is that attribute of God that He gives unto us. Love, which seeks the good of the neighbor. Love, which is not self-seeking, but which rather denies self. Love, which is an activity here. The Apostle Paul says, walk in love, not sit in love, not fall in love as the world speaks of falling in love, but walk in love. This is the daily determination of the Christian. As the Christian rises up from his bed in the morning, he prays unto God and seeks that God would strengthen him to be able to walk in love. Walking in love means that one denies the desires of the flesh. Consider what Jesus Christ did for us as He followed after God. He gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. All too easy it is for us to become focused on self and our own wants and our own desires. And then bitterness settles in our hearts. We become disappointed and upset when the pathway is not easy and broad. And sadly, many Christian novels present the Christian life as one of relative ease. As soon as one has that conversion, the moment of turning, then after that, the Christian life is presented as a life of ease. But the Word of God gives us a different picture of the Christian life. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us. So God calls us, be followers of God by giving yourself for others. Israel was delivered by God out of Egypt, which pictures deliverance from sin. And where did the Israelites spend the next 40 years after they were delivered out of captivity? They followed God. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't exciting. It was day after day of putting one foot in front of another foot, following after God, eating the same food, manna, drinking that same water for 40 years straight. An entire generation passed away in the wilderness, but their sandals were preserved as they followed after God in the wilderness. What hope do we have of ever being able to attain such a high and lofty standard? There is a real temptation to argue this text away. There's a practical objection to it, as though there is a doctrinal objection to it. The practical objection to the command of this text is that it's impossible to attain to such a level. I never could faithfully follow after God. I know because of the indwelling sins and the nature that I have, and that nature sticks with me all the days of my life, that I never will be able to imitate God as I am required according to this text. And so one takes a fatalistic position. Because it's impossible, therefore I might as well give up and not even try to follow after God. The doctrinal objection that is presented against this is, this does not apply to me, this command to follow after God, but this command applies to someone else. There's someone else who is the child of God. And who is that person who is to follow after God? Who is that child who is to mimic God? Jesus. This is a text that teaches us about what Jesus did. Jesus is the child of God who followed after God. And so the application here is unto Jesus, but not unto me. But you understand that that cannot be the case. Oh, to be sure, Jesus is God's child. And as God's child, Jesus did follow after God. But you understand it cannot be the case that the application is limited to Jesus. It cannot be that way, for the text uses the plural. Be ye, therefore, followers of God as dear children. Not the singular child, but the plural children. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We are those adopted into God's family. Be ye, he says, followers of God, you who are Gentiles. Ephesians 2, verse 12. And at that time ye, Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, that is, ye who at one time were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. A little later in Ephesians 2, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. And so it is unto you who are Gentiles, who once were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but who by the power and grace of God have been brought into the home and church of God. You are the ones to whom the command goes forth. Be ye therefore as followers of God as dear children. You are able to make a small beginning in keeping the command of this text. The reason that you are able to make a beginning in keeping the command of this text is exactly because of your identity. Who are you? You are children. Be followers of God as dear children, and children are teachable. Children are able to be instructed. Children come and their minds are like a sponge and they absorb the instruction that is given unto them. They become shaped after the teacher who imparts the knowledge and information unto them. You are able to imitate God because you are children. And not just children generally, but more specifically, you are God. Children. You are not the children of the world. You are not the children of the devil, who is a liar and who seeks to deceive, but you are children of Jehovah God. You are children of God by virtue of God's adoption of you. God has loved you with an everlasting love. In the fullness of time, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to give Himself as an offering and as a sacrifice to God. By virtue of this adoption, you now belong unto God's family. You are close unto God. You are near unto God, for God gives unto you His grace and His Holy Spirit. You are able to replicate God, to imitate God, because you know Him. God has revealed Himself unto His children. He does not hide from His children. He is not too busy, preoccupied with other cares and concerns, that He cannot speak unto His children, but God, who is your Father, has time to speak unto you and to reveal Himself unto you. And then not only does God reveal Himself to you as dear and beloved children, but as well God grants unto you power so that you are able to imitate God. A power that is given unto you not because of who you are by nature, but a power that is given unto you by the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ. The same God who quickens the dead, the same God who by His Word calls the things that were not so that they came into existence, the same God who by the power of His outstretched arm upholds heaven and earth and all that is therein, grants unto you the indwelling, irresistible, all-powerful Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it is by the power of the agency of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that you are able to follow after God as dear children. Imperfectly, yes. But a small beginning, yes. Be who you are. You are children of God. Be children of God. Children are curious. Children notice changes, things happening. Children ask questions. Why is this going on? What's happening here? Be as children. Be inquisitive about your God. Who is this God? Where do I see His power? Where do I behold His love? His grace. And then as well, children are teachable. Children do not enter the classroom, or at least ought not enter the classroom, with the attitude, I know it all, and I don't need to be taught anything. But rather, they enter the classroom understanding that there is a disparity between how much they know and how much the teacher knows. We, as we go through the classroom of this life, must enter that room not as one who has a know-it-all attitude, but as those who understand that there is a disparity between how much I know and how much God knows. And then as well, be children in this sense. You are a part of the body. Do you notice that the Apostle Paul does not say here, be ye therefore a follower of God as a dear child, but instead he uses the plural, be ye followers of God as dear children. It is not in isolation, but in the context of the covenant community that God is pleased to teach us what it is to be followers of God. We do not distance ourselves from the body of Jesus Christ as that body is manifest on this earth. We do not assume an attitude of pride. I'm better than the other members of the body. I know more than the other members of the body, so it's okay for me to isolate or distance myself from others. But rather, it is as the body and bride of Jesus Christ that together we follow after God. What would have happened to Old Testament Israel in the wilderness if they would have decided that they knew a better way to get to Canaan? The assurance that we have is this, that God will, for Jesus' sake, more and more change us into His own image. Oh, to be sure, not everyone will be changed into the image of God. Not all who sit under the preaching of the Word take earnestly this command to be followers of God. They are not all Israel who are of Israel. There are some who hear this command to be a follower of God and immediately start coming up with protests and objections in their mind why they cannot or why they will not be followers of God as dear children. Some who hear this command and on Monday morning will go right back to sinful and selfish and rebellious living. But others will be changed, and more they will follow after God. Those who are changed are those who are God's own children, who belong to the covenant of grace and who have been adopted into God's own family. This is the confidence that you may have, not because you are worthy of it, but God for Jesus' sake will change you. He will not change you immediately. He oftentimes does not transform us in the way that we would want to be transformed. Oftentimes, God's work of making us be followers of Him happens on His timeline, which is different from our timeline. Following after God means that He's going to lead us at times into narrow places. Places where we feel squeezed and pressed by the trials and hardships of this earth. But this is your confidence, that you who are God's children are not alone, but God is with you. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. Not because of your power, but in spite of the lack of your power. Not because you made yourself to differ from the wicked world, but in spite of your resemblance to the world. God powerfully and irresistibly changes His children. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. how delightful it is to God to work in you so that more and more you follow after God. Consider how rewarding and how satisfying that is to us as earthly parents when our children follow after us. When our children enjoy the same things that we enjoy. When a son perhaps follows in the footsteps of his father and takes up the career and profession of his father, there is satisfaction that we who are parents have from that. If we who are earthly parents derive satisfaction from seeing our children walk after us, how much more satisfaction does not God, our Father in heaven, who is perfect in all his ways, delight to see his children follow after him? Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, may we be strong in thee and in the power of thy might. We thank thee for thy word, which goes before us as a light upon our pathway, which teaches us the way in which we are to walk. Wilt thou guard our hearts, Father, from any pride? Wilt thou grant unto us humility and confidence that we may trust thee in thy leading of us? Bless and keep us. Bring us, Father, at last unto our heavenly home, for Jesus' sake. Amen.